there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello, it's Tracy Tully here today, and I'm introducing our guest speaker, who's Lee Rourke. Lee is a writer and transformational coach, and she works at Lead on Purpose. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Lee. She's compassionately blunt, and she's an instrument of truth. She empowers her clients with tools they can use to release their limits and listen to the voice of soul with them. A life coach, kinesiologist, and registered occupational therapist, Lee shows you how to access the wisdom within you to powerfully direct the course of your soul-aligned life. For over 13 years, Lee has done thousands of hours of one-on-one healing and transformational coaching for small business owners, leaders, and individuals. She will help you clear the path to your best and most aligned life. Lee also runs small group circles to teach you how to connect to your soul's voice. She will soon be launching an online program for overgiving types titled Soul Honoring. Saying no to say yes to your best life. Welcome, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me, Tracy. It's great to see you again and have a chat today. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Lee, I wonder if you could tell our listeners who is the woman behind Lead on Purpose.
Okay. Yeah, so my name's Lee Rourke. I'm a single parent. I live on the Sunshine Coast, beautiful Sunshine Coast near the ocean in Queensland, Australia. I have a home-based business, so COVID didn't affect me. This is my office and my life, and I work one-to-one with men and women, probably mainly women, and I tend to do two types of work. Well, three types of work, really. But the first type is I work often with entrepreneurs that might have some goals and we look at clearing the way to whatever they want to achieve. And we firstly need to check those goals are soul aligned. So we're tapping in all the time to people's true self, and I have systems and ways of doing that. And the second group I tend to work with is people who come to me with all sorts of problems, be they relationship, mental health, and really they are overgivers is the heart of that they have, you know, either poor boundaries, poor ability to say no, or they just tend to be the kind of high-functioning person that organises everybody else around them and rescues and fixes everybody else around them and ends up burnt out. So they're the type of people that I tend to attract and work with, and I've been through lots of different niches in my business, and at times I've marketed myself more intensely to business owners or to leaders, but at this time it really, the clients are coming to me through word of mouth, and so I've built up, I guess, enough of a relationship with people over the years now that happens automatically. So it fits really well with me still being a mum. My girls are 11 and 13, Yeah, so it fits well with my lifestyle. I'm fully flexible. And I also run, you mentioned I run some circles. I've just finished a circle that was targeted specifically to the overgivers, overfunctioners, and people pleasers. And so that content I've developed in that circle has become that online course that I'm now working. As you know, there's a lot of work to get those things up, videos to create and all of that. So working to get that done in the background. So I'm hoping to make that course low cost, because I know that for a lot of people, therapy or coaching is, you know, out of their reach financially. And I want to give people these tools that I teach my clients every day. And I think that's what you find when you work with people one-to-one. There's a lot of coaches that will go straight to group work, but I actually find the one-to-one informs my knowledge and my skills and the tools I develop, and then I can bring those tools to a greater audience. So that's the intention for the next phase of my business, is to be less reliant on people coming to me, and more that I can share things that they can download on their computer or access anywhere, and get the same tools that I teach time and time again. And that's why I wrote my book. I'll just mention, Tracy, I've got a book called Soul Truth, and the reason I wrote that was because I found myself saying similar things time and time again. I was like, what do I want people to know in a really condensed form about how to get unstuck and live their truth? And that was where the book came in. So it kind of felt cathartic. I think we've got gifts, and it's really good to just get them out of us. No matter what your gift is, when you get your gift out of yourself and put it into the world, there's a great feeling of satisfaction and meaning and purpose in that. So that's my intention, and that's what I do, and that's what I help others do. I help them get their gifts out in the world, because one of the things, we had our last circle for the overgivers, overfunctioners and people pleasers last night, and one of the things we ended up talking about at the end was how much energy letting go of these old patterns is now freeing them up to create and to really be on purpose and to do what they're doing in the world. You know, like you are, you're sharing your gift with your interviews, and you're on purpose and being in that space where you have the energy to do that, because you're not stretching yourself so thin in a million directions, particularly as women, is really, yeah, it changes your life. It moves you into a different space. So that's my intention, to see more and more people go into that space. I don't know. I forgot your original question now, Tracy. I've just talked on and on and on.
That's all right. I asked you, who's the lady behind leader of purpose, and you have explained it really well. And I can identify with all those people you're talking about, because it would be 99.9% of people in the world, wouldn't it, that are overgiven.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we've all had encounters with people we'd consider narcissistic who are takers, but interestingly enough, they're not the kind of people that tend to come looking for therapy, and quite often not the kind of people looking for coaching, unless somebody shoved them into it. So the type of people that do show up and say, I want to improve myself, tend to be, you know, caring people anyway. But I do think what you're saying is true, and that in the modern world, we have more demands than we've ever had. And, you know, for women, we have more roles, and men as well, more roles than we've ever had. We now take on things that maybe traditionally we didn't. We had a simple role traditionally where it was still complex, but we had a defined role. And now we tend to be workers, mothers, friends, you know, cleaners, we tend to be it all. So I do think, and then the, you know, the technology means the world sped up, so the demands are bigger, you know. So I do think, yes, majority of people in the world have some level of significant stress.
I agree with you. And I hear that all the time from my clients. And it's interesting because, as a female mother, when my children were growing up, they both left home long ago. Multitasking was the name of the game, and it was a very fast pace. As you said, with the invent of the mobile phone and also a computer, and then all the other apps and bells and whistles that go with it, life speeds up, and I think people really struggle with that speed. Can you give us one strategy that people can listen to today that you might be able to help them with, one strategy to start focusing on, if you're one of these people who are overgivers?
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, I'm happy to do that. So in my program for overgivers, we start with the foundational tools, and the foundational tools is getting in touch with what your truth is, because if you don't know what your truth is, you'll start to, you know, pick up on what other people need and want all the time rather than what you need and want, and therefore you kind of... So that's the first thing. But the tool I'll give is, I use this analogy of the vase. And so if you can imagine, you know, a vase being your energy, and you know, to give, essentially we're seeing almost one of those fountains. We'd like to be giving from overflowing. We'd like to give from having enough energy that we've got extra to give. So with that analogy, sometimes I have a whole meditation, but you can do it really quickly. You can just ask, how full am I today? You know, and for some people they might see the vase or they get it automatically as a percentage. And then other people, they are, you know, they might feel in their body, oh, I'm about full up to my chest or I'm about up to my neck. And then asking that question, what would fill me up? Because even just assuming in that question, it's allowing yourself to go, right, okay, could I prioritize myself first here rather than last? Because if we prioritize ourselves last, there'll be nothing left over for yourself. You know, there'll be no, because the world will take whatever you're offering it, you know, whether that's kids and partners and family and, you know, my family, two of my parents and my brother rang me this morning and everyone had challenges to talk about and I want to be there for them. This is a constant conflict we have. I want to be there for them, but then I had to get ready for this talk. So I have to always find that balance of how much energy do I have to give this situation. And coming from a self-first place, you know, can, and particularly since often people do ring me for advice a lot, as you can imagine, just being in my job, you know, so it's often that it's a constant balance. We have to constantly consider, do I have this to give? What will fill me up? What will bring me energy today so that I can give more effectively? And how I find this plays out in my life is that if I do look after myself, whether that's those morning practices of meditation or doing something that makes me feel good, like walking the dog on the beach or whatever I do to fill myself up, I find that when I come back to my work, I'm more focused. When I come back to my children, I'm more patient because I have taken the time and the energy to give to myself first. So it's a really simple concept we're all kind of familiar with, but I like to bring things back to a metaphor or a really quick tool people can use day to day that they start to use regularly that enhances their life. So that's just one of them. And I just thought, you know, that concept of, so, and then we go advanced into that tool. We go, where are my leaks happening? Where are my cracks happening? Where am I draining my energy here? And that's the second part of it. But initially, a person who's listening to this today can just sit there, close their eyes and really intend to breathe. And for me, I connect to soul as an energy. Sometimes people see that as in their heart as an expansion, or if they relate to it being above, or if they believe in God above. So you connect to that and then connecting to the earth, I sit and calm myself and then I'll ask, how full am I today? Oh, I'm up to here. You know, what will fill me up today? What will bring me more energy? And then I can give better, because we actually all do want to give better. We want to be, most of us who are good intentioned anyway, we want to be more patient for our children or our partner, or be more focused and present in our work. So we're not being selfish by putting ourselves first is one of the major messages that I
it's
share.
It's interesting that you're saying that, because at my age and my generation where I was brought up was you had to always give to other people all the time. You just had to give. And whilst there's nothing wrong with that, what happens is you grow up into that person, as you said, and so you attract that type of person.
You do,
that
yes.
That constantly wanting to, using your vase analogy, empty you. Because
yes.
they need your energy. I hear that a lot with people, and it comes to a point that you think, oh boy, you know, I have to stop here. So how do you, in your position, how do you make that change between the people that keep just ringing you for advice to the people that become your clients? Because I know for entrepreneurs and business people, this is the one I hear all the time from a lot of people.
Yeah.
The delineation they struggle with, they just want to give. But at some point they have to earn money to buy the biscuits in the cookie jars.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, I think this is a really cool question. I love that you bring up that kind of that energy draining person. And look, there's all spectrums of that, you know, from your most narcissistic, you know, energy vampires, the people that you will like walk away and feel drained, to just well-meaning people who come to you because they know you have something to offer. And for an entrepreneur, particularly if you do have something to offer, you're going to start to gather people who want what you have to offer. And there'll always be a percentage of those that are going to, you know, test and look for the freebies, you know, like that are going to want what you have to offer and not give anything in return. So, you know, that it comes down to boundaries, Tracy. And there's two aspects to boundaries. There's the self-worth to actually believe, well, I'm worth, particularly when we're asking for money, I'm worth charging for this. So there's that component. And sometimes we need to look at that. But then the other component is just boundaries. Boundaries in itself is, and it's part of my program and in the feedback, because last night was the last night, one of my clients was just like, boundaries have changed my life. Learning how to have boundaries has absolutely changed my life. That's been the key. And, you know, for she's an entrepreneur as well in her own business, and she would get clients who would ring her at 6 a.m. on a Sunday, and she would just do it. You know, she would just do it because she had this fear of losing the client. And that comes from, you know, for many people, that comes actually from their childhood wounds. Like, I have a fear of being abandoned or not loved if I don't actually show up in that way. Or it comes from some real lack of abundance kind of mindsets where we think, you know, if I lose this client, there won't be another one. When, you know, there's always another one. And a better one. And that's the thing about when you have boundaries, what happens is that people either don't like it and they disappear, in which case that can feel painful, particularly if we're talking about friendships and deeper relationships, that can feel painful, but it's also actually for the best. Yes. Or they adjust to your new boundaries and rules and go, oh, okay, yeah, well, I will pay because I do really want what you have to offer me and I do see your value. And isn't that the kind of client we want as business owners? We want people who see our value. And so, you know, it's so fascinating to me. I work with some quite successful entrepreneurs that have, you know, teams and big groups of clients that come in. And one of the coaching entrepreneurs comes to mind. And with him, you know, that as he's upgraded his boundaries and his self-worth, the type of clients he's attracting is totally changing. And sometimes when he's having a lot of trouble with the clients, we talk about how that's a reflection. He's aware enough to come and say, why am I attracting these clients who are da-da-da? And we look at what the pattern is within them. And it sounds a bit woo-woo and a bit magic, but I just see it play out in my own business but other people's businesses time and time again. What you will tolerate is what you get, but also your patterns from childhood will keep replaying themselves in what you see outside of yourself, you know. So that happens, I believe that happens for a spiritual reason. That happens so that we can see what needs to be healed. It's showing up outside of ourselves for us to, as an opportunity to grow and to change these patterns. And you know, I had a 60-year-old client in here the other day who almost had subconsciously, this is the empath in me, sometimes I can hear people's subconscious doubts and questions. And subconsciously he was asking, am I too old to change this pattern? I'm 60 years old. I've had it since I was 4. You know, dad was a bit abusive and I just had to go, yes, you can change these patterns. Absolutely. I believe that everybody can, no matter how bad your trauma, can actually change the limiting stories that are showing up in their life. And when we're talking higher functioning entrepreneurs, that it's tweaking. It's not the biggest stuff. They've usually moved through the bigger stuff, but it's what's the next level of growth for me and what are these things that are holding me back moving forward? So, yeah, I think boundaries, 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 boundaries. And I teach people how to set a boundary. That doesn't always have to be a big, loud no, though I love the word no. I think the more we embrace the word no, the better our life is. But, you know, it can be subtle things like a friend rings you and they want your time and attention. You know, I say to my clients, if you've got a lie and say, I've only got 5 minutes, that is a lie I want you to not feel guilty about, because it's actually a kind lie in terms of you're not saying, I really don't want to talk to you. You're exiting from that situation in a way that honors you and the other person. If that's, if you don't have a relationship that's as vulnerable and honest enough for you to say, and I've got friends that I can do this with, which is just, I don't have the energy in the space to speak to you now because I know we're going to go into something that drains me. If you don't have that level of trust and vulnerability in the relationship, be okay saying, I'm sorry, I've only got 5 minutes to chat. And, you know, in the end, that's a boundary. So there's just so many layers of boundaries. And the most powerful one is to just go, thanks for the offer, but that's not right for me. You know, because when we say that's not right for me, it's really a self-honoring place of, you know, no one can argue with that, Tracy. If you said to me, no, it's not right for me, I go, oh, okay. You know you better than I know you. So how can I argue with that? So, you know, boundaries is something I could talk about all day because I love it. It is life-changing. And at the end of the day, I think in terms of the people that are giving, it's really looking at the shadow side of that. Why am I doing that? Am I doing that because I want people to love me more? Am I doing that because the child within me wants attention or affection or to be thought of as a really good person? And there's a lot of shadow motivations in why we overgive. You know, we want to be seen as something, or we want to, and yes, our business reputation is important, but a reason, you know, and you, and, but a reasonable person won't react to a well articulated boundary. A reasonable person will just go, yes. Now, you're going to get some people who do have a tantrum around, you setting boundaries, and that's particularly when you have been overgiving for a long time and you change the rules. You know, of course, yeah. You're changing the rules on them. You know, you're now saying what I did give you every day, I'm not going to give you. They're going to have what I call a Fredo Frog moment, as if you've gone to the two-year-old to the supermarket and you've taken the two-year-old and every time you went to the supermarket you bought them a Fredo Frog, and then one day you said no more Fredo Frogs. Well, you're going to have a tantrum, aren't you?
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, and a lot of adults are operating not from their adult self. They're actually operating from their 2, 4, 8, 10, 12-year-old when they're triggered. So, you know, it's unfortunately to grow your business, you have to be prepared at times to not be popular all the time with everyone. There just is no way around that.
No. That's a problem, isn't it? Because I know as an educator of 38 years, our department more or less pressured us that you had to be nice to everyone. You have to be nice all the time, and you have to, so they're more or less pushing you not to have those boundaries, even though in the system of education you have to have really, really strong, very, very delineated boundaries for people to understand what they're doing. And so a classic example, and you're a mum with kids at school, is behaviour management. So yeah. Kids move around all the time, especially if they're in the armed forces, et cetera, but that's the sort of style of life we have. They move around. Some might be moving around from school to school. So you walk into a school and you wouldn't have a clue what the expectation is if you did A, B or C, and then you move to the next school and it's the same. So there's never clear boundaries. And something as simple as what you're saying, having clear boundaries set up, it becomes a problem in something massive like an organisation like education. Yeah. Who just doesn't get it. They really don't get it. So they have a school, then we have all our policies, et cetera, but then all of us, and every child signs a contract in every single school, state school, would you believe? And yet nobody says you've got to stick to those boundaries.
Well, that's the thing. Firstly, you've got to have the boundary. And sometimes with entrepreneurs, I'm like, actually, you need to systemize that boundary, because when you systemize it, then it's not so personal anymore. And it's just, this is our statement and you've signed the contract. You know, so it's to systemize the boundaries, but then you've got to stick to them. And they're two separate problems. The firstly is to have one, and the second one is to stick to it. And I think in education they're in a bit of a bind, really, aren't they? Because, you know, if you expel a kid, where do they go, particularly in public education? In private, they probably, it's easier for them to hold to the boundaries because they know they can go to the state school. But, you know, I think education's, yeah, it's a different and challenging topic in terms of teenagers and kids, but the same principles apply. You know, these are certainly the more consistent, as we know with parenting, the more consistent we are with our boundaries, and actually it's safer for the children. And it's the same as adults. When people know what to expect with you, when you're not wavering because you're not trying to please people, everybody feels clear. You know, this is the exchange that's going to happen. This is what it's going to cost. This is what I'm going to get for it. Anything more than that's going to cost me extra. When all those type of boundaries are set up, everyone's clear and no one's, you know. So it actually makes everybody's life better to have boundaries. And I don't, sometimes I'm not 100% rigid in my boundaries with my clients, for instance, you know, not 100% because I'm a compassionate person. And sometimes there are extenuating circumstances why someone, for instance, might not be able to pay or might not be able to get there on time or had to cancel their appointment. And all of these things, like I'm a compassionate person. And so then I make a decision too, you know, in this social media world, I see a lot of questions in the entrepreneurial pages, like such and such is kind of pushing for a refund and it's really blatantly no reason to refund. And they're like, what should I do? Sometimes the boundary is how do I get this person out of my life quickest and smoothly and easiest. And so sometimes my advice is to just pay them and get them out of your life. You know, and as long as no one else knows about that, then you're not sending a precedent to the rest of your client. You're just literally stopping a big social media blow up and them defaming you on Facebook or whatever. So not always. You've got to work out what feels right to you. And this is the thing about boundaries is as you build your self-love and self-respect, you work out where they sit. And that's a constant adjustment process of, you know, where is my boundary on this? And I think that's a, for me, I'm not sure I'll ever stop doing work around boundaries because I feel like as an empath, that's something I need to be continually mindful of is what, where is my boundary on this? Where do I want it to be? And then when I have it, holding it, that's less difficult for me sometimes than working out where it is. But different people are different. Some people are good at working out where it is and really terrible at holding it. So, and I see boundaries not just, as I mentioned in our talk the other day, I talk about, you know, we've got mental load, we've got a physical load, we've got an emotional load, we've got an energetic load as human beings. And I talk a lot in the language of energy, and that doesn't come from a woo-woo place, but what I find is that actually that's how things work, you know. Mm-hmm. That when I walk away from a conversation, it might have been outwardly positive, but if I feel drained energetically, what's happened there? Something's happened on the energetic level. So I help people with those verbal boundaries but also the energetic boundaries. And then the vulnerability, like we are more vulnerable to those people if we are more open. We're more vulnerable to those people if we have trauma. And I'm a trained trauma therapist. Some of my clients, we go back and just work on trauma for a chunk of time before we can work on their goals. If we haven't cleared that, then we have to go back to that. Or I give them tools for them to work every day with, for instance, the inner child, if you've got childhood trauma, and you work just every day with soothing that inner child and letting it know it's safe and loved, that can totally change your life as well. So we don't have to necessarily go and do something like EMDR, which is a trauma therapy. You know, I can give people tools, and that just depends on how severe the trauma is and how neurologically embedded that is. So I guess that's my unique space from a coaching perspective is I actually merge coaching and therapy. While people are often just therapists or just coaches, and for me to shift between the hats, sometimes a session will be purely coaching, sometimes it'll be purely therapy, or sometimes it'll be 5-minute coaching, 10 minutes therapy, 5 minutes coaching, 20 minutes therapy, because they're different models of the world. But I'm really good at working out what people need when, and that's just experience, Tracy. I mean, when I talk about this and I say things like that, the people, old people pleaser in me says you should be more humble, you know. We've got all these programs that, like you said, that we have, and particularly as women, you know, it's more accepted, for instance, for a man sometimes to go, no, I don't want to do that, or I'm not putting up with this anymore. You know, sometimes when a woman does that, she's called all sorts of things in the corporate world particularly. You know, when I work with women in the corporate world, it's like there's different rules for them than there are for men. And that exists. You know, we might think we've come a long way, but in some ways the way women are perceived when they're strong in their boundaries is they'll be called something. You know, well, he'll be called a leader.
You know, it's just... I love the line you're going to, and obviously, as you can imagine, I'll pick up on that very quickly. So let's talk about that. Let's expand on that then for a while. So we've talked about, and I've heard you talking about boundaries, which are explicitly needed. So we have boundaries as parents or for children, and then we have boundaries in our life, just normally in our life. But now you're moving to the corporate world, and that's a world I've lived in. And it's certainly a world I have clients in, as you would yourself. So can you tell our listeners what is the difference there that's happening in the corporate world that you're seeing?
Well, I when I moved to the Sunshine Coast, I used to have just corporate clients in Brisbane mainly, like stressed executives pretty much. And then when I moved to the Sunshine Coast, I started working more and more with small business owners because there are more and more small business owners. So I have less corporate clients these days, but I still have a few, and they tend to be working in government organisations or, you know, more of those type of organisations here on the coast. And I still have some Brisbane ones. So government's a little bit different in its culture from traditional corporate. And I used to work as an occupational therapist going into workplaces every day in the Brisbane city, going into workplaces and doing return to work programs for people who had injuries, right? That was my bread and butter job just before I had children 13 years ago. And so what I found, and I still do a little bit of that work because I do some work for insurance companies, and sometimes I'll have to go into a workplace as a result of that. But what I went into thousands of workplaces. And every workplace has a different culture. And it has a different culture from the, you know, the leader down as a culture, but then there's a subculture from the manager down. I did thousands of ergonomic assessments in the tax office, and I could walk into each little pod and feel the culture because I'm an empath. So what the caveat here is that I don't want to be stereotypical because every culture, every place has a different culture, and sometimes those cultures are very masculine, sometimes they're very feminine. And some of the feminine cultures actually aren't very good, for instance, like you talked about with education, at holding the boundary. You know, like, you know, they're very giving and we care about things, but sometimes those cultures that are very feminine don't make decisions very well. Mm-hmm. So we spend all this time talking in meetings and we never get to decision making. But sometimes those cultures that are more masculine, if they're not countered with the care aspect, you know, they don't have enough members at the key management positions that have care and have nice feminine masculine integration and caringness within them, sometimes that's when you get those really toxic cultures that are very much outcome driven sometimes, but are a bit cutthroat and it's a bit, you know, nasty. So both masculine and feminine cultures have sometimes undercurrents of challenges, and there's all sorts of politics. This is why, I mean, that job I was talking about was a corporate job and I ended up doing some corporate training, but then I just realised actually it's not the world for me, Tracy. Like, I'm still happy to work with corporate clients, but I look at sometimes the politics they go through and go, oh, you know. Because when you've got a small business owner or a medium-sized business owner even, they're creating the culture.
Yes.
So, you know, so... Yes, other members are bringing complexity into that culture, but their intention and their vision creates the culture. So it's a totally different scenario. When it's corporates, it's how do we navigate this culture and be myself in this culture? How can I be myself and feel like I don't lose myself? Or how can I create a microcosm of culture within this team that I manage? I might have four or five people underneath me or whatever. How do I make that so that even if that's coming from the top, we can just make peace and accept? I'm a big fan of acceptance and commitment therapy, which is at essence, the heart of that is if I can change it, I change it. And if I can't, I have to accept it. And if you're in a corporate job, there's always things you need to accept that you mightn't like. And you've got to work with people sometimes who you don't like. And it's how do I set boundaries with them? How do I communicate with them? How do I leave work at work and come home and have work-life balance? How do I not let, you know, the emails from my manager at 11 o'clock at night completely destroy my work-life balance? They're the kind of conversations I tend to have with people in the corporate world, you know, and, yeah, just and how do I get a promotion too? How do I get seen for my genius, particularly some of the overgiver types? That there's different types of overgivers, and some of them are really kind of invisible overgivers. Like they're contributing so much, but they're actually not really seen. And it's about when I'm coaching that type of person in the corporate world, it's like, how do we get you seen? How do we get you acknowledged actually for your genius? And sometimes that's even just sharing, like I did. I'm really good at that. You know, and as women, we feel really uncomfortable doing that. I still feel the part of me that's uncomfortable, but I'm like, no, actually, this is a true presentation, and so therefore I'm going to put it forward. And this is why I think we see the pay disparity for women. It's not just that, you know, a man's making a decision and it's unfair. It's that women don't go, hey, I'm really good at this and I deserve this.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
we don't actually ask. Yeah,
we don't ask.
You have to ask for the right to speak up. Well, actually, you don't have to ask. You just take that right because it's our God-given right. You know,
I love that.
Yeah, purely by the fact that, you know, we're citizens of Australia, so we have the freedom of speech to speak up. And yet people have been told for so long, and we'll allude back to education because it's a classic, like health department, where they're muzzled and under an act called the Public Service Act, where they cannot speak. They just cannot. There's no, but the funny thing about it is, this is the politics that have put this in there. The funny thing is no one has signed any confidentiality agreement. No one. So like when you have the police force, for example, they have a code. They have a code that dictates their boundaries. It's really, really smart. It's a very smart thing to have, and so they should. But so should the health department, and so should the, and I'm talking government departments here, so should the education department. A code. Now, they have what's called the code of conduct, but when it comes to the code of conduct, it's open to anyone's interpretation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually really help anyone. And that's our problem in life. So we've got all these people that are struggling with their boundaries because they look for their corporate world or their government world, which or their entrepreneurial world, for boundaries that don't exist really. And they're constantly saying, I need to have my voice, or can I need, you know, permission to speak. And it's a hard one. And I'm coming from you here, your program, your online program that you'll soon be launching called Soul Honoring, Saying No to Say Yes. Can you talk here now, because saying no is really important. A lot of people struggle with it. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that, the power of saying no?
Well, I think, you know, firstly, just to bring that corporate example there, you know, I spoke about like the email at 11 o'clock at night. And so, you know, saying no might look like an email back, you know, to the boss that says either something like, I'll action this in the morning, or let's talk about it at 9 o'clock. It doesn't have to say be no as a strong, as a strong no, or it could be just a request. I would prefer if you don't email me at night because it shows up on my phone and it disrupts, you know, so it can be a request. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of saying no, it's probably the ultimate boundaries. But when I'm talking about this in the concept of, it's also saying no to things you know aren't right for you. So that might be the corporate job. That might be the courage to leave the toxic work environment. That might be the courage to leave the relationship that isn't working for you, or the courage to, you know, say no to your children's demands for whatever that is. You know, so it's on every level of your life. it's when you honour yourself and you go, what's right for me, what honours me, the reason why people don't ask that question is because they fear the consequence. Because if they start asking that question, then they're actually going to have to say no to things that are actually sometimes their comfort zone. You know, I can see the book behind you saying fearless. Well, you know, the thing about fear is that we just get into what's comfortable for us. What we're used to is comfortable, and change is uncomfortable. So when we ask what honours us, it's going to bring change. It doesn't have to bring life-bringing change, and it doesn't have to bring the change we fear. I've got multiple examples of clients who come to me who are contemplating leaving their relationship. And when we work on boundaries and we work on their own self-love and then meeting their own needs and then asking for their needs in a healthy adult chair way, what happens sometimes is that the relationship is just totally transformed for the better. And so they feared that they'd lose it, but it's actually transformed. So when we say, saying no sometimes is the ultimate act of courage, you know, no to the old way of being, no to your old life, no to being treated that way, no to, you know, I really believe we get what we will tolerate in life to a certain extent. You know, if I will tolerate being abused, then the people that are abusive are going to come around and they're like bees to a honey. They just sense it. You know, the most narcissistic personalities can actually sense your wound, and they will actually manipulate it in both ways. There's, you know, a narcissistic personality, for instance, in relationship might love bomb somebody at the start, so they sense their wound and they meet that need, but then they withdraw from that or they start criticizing into the same wound. So it sounds, you know, and I'm not saying some of these people are doing that consciously. It's a subconscious strategy. And these are the real energy vampires we touched on before. Yes. But, you know, no, and not all my clients are dealing with narcissistic personalities. It's a spectrum of, you know, just honouring yourself. And to me, that's an ongoing journey. It's not, okay, because life changes all the time. You know, a balance. You get in a balance and you're honouring you and your balance is all good and your self-care nurture, you know, is all good, and then something changes and suddenly you actually have to find a different way of being and a different way of honouring you to handle what's changed. So, you know, a classic example of that for me was becoming a single parent. Well, it changes absolutely everything in terms of how much money do I need to earn a week to, you know, how many, like, to what I will do for my children because I don't have the energy, or how available I am to clients wanting to book in at the last minute because I can't be as flexible. So the boundaries have to change with your situation. So saying no, yeah, saying no so you can say yes, because I need to let go of something or be willing to potentially run the risk of losing it. And the relationship's the classic example of that. Or even jobs. Sometimes people, when I say, well, let's set some boundaries, they go, oh, my boss will get rid of me. My boss will turn on me. My boss will whatever. And we go, well, if that happens, is that the worst thing that can happen? Because we're going to go find something better if that's the case. So we need to say no to bring in the better thing.
Exactly. I think, you know, you've touched on so many raw points at every level. It's fascinating listening to you. And for our listeners today on BBS Radio, I actually listened to Lee on the weekend on Sunday here in Australia. She spoke at an international women's conference, and she talked about what she does in her job and exactly what she's talking about today. But with this passion that a lot of us do not even know what we're missing. A lot of people, and listeners will hear this today, a lot of people go, oh, that's right, you know, I need to think about what is it that I want that honours me first, because until you do that, you can't really help other people. Or do you need to be helping those other people in the first place? And why are we doing that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really important point. Sometimes I believe in soul contracts, that we come down with particular purposes in mind, but I think some of the overgivers almost feel like they have a soul contract to save the world or help others, when really when I tap into their soul contract, it's quite often not the case. I believe we're here to actually really be the most expanded version of ourselves. To share our gifts and skills for the joy that brings us. You know, when you were talking about my passion, I am passionate about it because this work just lights me up. That's a selfish space, and I don't actually see that as a problem, because in the end, me doing what's right for me, living the kind of lifestyle I live where I do have the flexibility, I can walk the dog on the beach, I have the clients I want to have. You know, it's not perfect and I'm always tweaking and upgrading, but that brings me passion, and of course that's going to benefit my clients and the world. So being in the, you know, I feel like sometimes this pressure, particularly again as women, that our value is in what we give, and that's just a lie. Our value just is.
Yeah.
And you're here to enjoy your life. You're here to experience. I believe we've got multiple purposes. You're here to learn and grow. You're here to enjoy life and experience the present moment and all that entails. You're here to, yes, find what you're good at and share those gifts. And then it's kind of like the icing on the cake, that legacy piece. I think sometimes people try and create a legacy before they've actually sorted the foundation out, which is their own life. You know, I see legacy as rightly so, something you do in your 50s and 60s if you have done the work of really self-honoring and you've got the stable foundation. But having said that, my work gives back all the time, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it actually is myself and my children and my family right now. It's to find a way where I can provide for them and enjoy it, and in a way that works for my own energy style, because that's the other thing I'm passionate about, is where people play the comparison game, and particularly women. It's a really toxic thing we do, where we go, she's done that, I want to do that too, or I think I should want to do that too. And they're what I call ego desires. They're not soul desires. They're like, you know, I want to be like Tracy. I want to have an interview. Well, what if that's really not aligned with my skills and gifts? What if that doesn't work for my energy? What if that doesn't work for the way I operate? What if that's not my purpose or the gift I want to share for the world? So getting in touch with what you really want and what really honors you, it requires you to just drop all these social expectations and programs we have, and caution against the Facebook kind of comparisonitis, where we go, she's got this amazing life. And that comes from my life, Tracy. Rarely has my life turned out how I've planned it. You know? Some people's lives do. They plan something and it goes that way. But I really consider myself fortunate in that I feel like my soul has redirected me every time I've gone too far off track. And that's my belief about my own personal journey. It's not my belief about all my clients' journey, you know, because I don't like to impose my model of the world on people. If they're not spiritual, we work with them where they're at. I don't impose that on them. But I do think people fundamentally believe and can relate to this concept of that feels aligned and right for me, that honors me, and that I have an individual kind of beat to my drum, that I operate best when I come from that beat rather than trying to be someone else's beat. So, yeah, so I think, I don't know, that's pretty much probably all I've got to say on that really. But, yeah, I think it's been, you know, my passion for what I do, I consider a real gift, but I've also worked to find what lights me up. Sometimes it doesn't land on your lap.
Exactly.
You know, I've gone, this doesn't work for me, so I've had the courage. I actually changed jobs a lot when I was younger, and I'm a Gen X Y cusper, and it was kind of more of a Gen Y thing to do, and Gen Xers tended to stay loyal to their job. And so I was at the start of that generation that would go, this isn't working for me, I'm going to try this. But what was brilliant about that was with each hop, I was deeply considering what works for me in this and what doesn't. What do I like about this and what doesn't? So I want more of what I want to like, and I have to say no to this job. You know, when I moved to the Sunshine Coast, I had a full private practice, but my knowing was like, no, it's the right place for me. I need to go. And I followed that knowing even when it wasn't logical. Like, I walked away from a full business, and it took me ages to get back up to where I was. It was madness on the surface of it. But on every level, or on every other level, it's been the right decision, and it came from a place of knowing. So that's, you know, my challenge sometimes to my clients is to be that little bit brave, and we bring the fears into the room. Let's talk about what you fear about this. Because when you talk about your fears, they lose their power.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love the Facebook banner you have, and I'm going to read it out so our listeners can hear. You've got out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing. There is a field. You are there. And that struck me when I was doing my research on you. That is a really, really neat banner. What was behind that? This is my last question for you because I'm watching the time. So what's behind that banner there?
Well, I think that's, I might misquote, I think it's a Rumi quote. But what I loved about that is that what holds us back is the judgment we have of ourselves. And, you know, and what I want in relationship and what I've created a lot with my friendships is a place where we're non-judgmental of each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, right and wrong has sometimes these rules that we're given, you know, particularly when you're talking about the generations you've come from and into ours, these concepts of, but the new generations have their own right and wrong too. But these concepts of right and wrong and what you should and shouldn't do are things that limit our truth about what's right for us. And so for me, a world without inner judgment, I still have the judging voice, the inner critic, some people will call it. I still have that judging voice come in, but the old me would have run with that. But the new me goes, oh, thanks for your opinion, but you know what, I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
Like, we're human here. I'm human. You know, last time I checked, I'm human, which means I'm never going to be perfect. And I do work with a lot of clients that have very high expectations for themselves. And unfortunately, if you have high expectations of yourself, you're at risk of projecting that onto other people as well. And they'll feel judged or criticized or controlled through that dynamic. So it's not great for relationships, judgment.
No, it isn't. And you're talking about, you know, the corporate world and the government world where it's very performance, outcome-driven culture, performance, and that can cause so much havoc. And it'd be the same if we're looking at our own lives. If we expect perfect to be perfect, or our partners expect us to be perfect, we've got a lot of issues that run very deep there. So you've covered every aspect today in this short hour. And it's been fabulous listening to you and your ability to take on the topic of boundaries. I think that should be in every school. I think it should be like grade three. Every single school child should have quite almost a term on what it means.
A term every year, I think, because as they get older, you know, when we talked about this consent issue that's come up in the media recently, that's a boundary issue.
Yeah, it is a boundary issue. I was reading the Parliament notes last night. A very boring life I have, but we're talking about sex education in school, so I wanted to respond. And what you're saying is correct. How do you teach young children to pick up, you know, the possibility of these things, and how do we teach them? It's easy. Children are children. They're like little sponges. They'll soak up what they're given. If we give them the right information from let go, as you're saying, in life, we find, no doubt you and I and everyone else, we find the biggest problem people have is with setting boundaries. If they can get to that part very quickly, and manage it, then their life is going to be so much easier and better for them. And that's where they're probably not taught at home. Whatever is missing, those gaps that you were talking about, and I love you mentioned words like, and I probably won't even find my notes now, but you talked about the gaps and the cracks, the leaks and the cracks you talked about.
The leaks and the cracks and the drains.
I love that, leaks, cracks and drains. And, so
and it, taps, because sometimes we turn on a tap and we leave the tap on as well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I think of a lot of business people listening today, they can probably think, yeah, yeah, yeah. No matter what job you're in, you could be taking your information and working that out. So, my lovely lady, I'm going to have to say goodbye and thank you so much. We'd love to have you back on another day. And
I just love this chat, Tracy. You're a delightful chat too. I think we can chat all day.
Thank you. So we've only got a couple of minutes left. If you can just tell everyone where they can find you.
So you can, so I have a website, leerourke.com. You can find me on Facebook as well. I'm not a big Instagrammer. I'm probably just past that. I'm not great at selfies, but you can find me on Facebook. And my email is lee@leerourke.com. So that's leigh@leigherorke.com. If you email me with any questions, I'm really accessible. I'm not one of these people that hides behind, online calendars and things. Anybody can chat to me, book a chat for 15 minutes if they want to, and see if we're a match in terms of coaching or working. I'm not a great sales pitcher. It's just a conversation to see if we're a match. And you can download my book, is on Amazon, on Kindle, or you can order it on my website, the hard copy. So yeah, that's, you can find me multiple places, Tracy, but yeah. I'm always happy to chat to people who might think they're a match, and I just encourage people to use their intuition. A lot of my clients come intuitively. They go, oh, I just felt like you were the right person. I don't even really know what you do. And I love that. I go, oh, thank you, Thanks for listening to what your intuition says about who's right for you, because I do think with coaches and therapists it's finding that match.
Okay, I'm sorry, we'll have to wrap up now. So thank you so much, Lee, and thank you all our listeners today, and we'll catch you next Thursday this time again. Cheers, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.